Certainly good seeing everyone today. Thank you for being here. And as have been said, we certainly welcome all of our visitors. We appreciate very much your presence. Eddie, thank you for those songs today. We're going to be talking about These Are the Days of Josiah. He wasn't included in that song, but Elijah, Ezekiel, Moses, David, several were. Merrill, thank you for your prayer. I appreciate that very much. As you know, we begin our spiritual enrichment tonight, and certainly I want to encourage all of us to participate in that, to support that as much as you possibly can. And we are delighted and very glad to have Sam Hester with us this morning, and he will be kicking off the spiritual enrichment tonight, and I'll have more to say about Sam a little bit later on, but we are glad that Sam can be with us. And since that is the theme of our enrichment this year, the continuing or our continuing restoration, I thought it might be appropriate for us to take a look at what I think of as kind of an ancient restoration movement among the people of God. According to the opening verses of 2 Kings chapter 22, Josiah was only 8 years old when he became king of Jerusalem. He was born, we think, around 648 B.C., died around 609 B.C., but in the 18th year of his reign, Josiah began to institute some repairs in the temple. And while the work was going on, one of the workers found a book of the law. The book was given to Shaphan, and the scribe proceeded to read it. And after reading it, he said, "The king needs to hear this." And he read it in the presence of the king. What did the book say? What did Josiah do when he heard the words of this book? And what does this ancient story have to do with us living now in the 21st century? We're not told the name of the book. A number of scholars who have studied the passage believe the book found in the temple was the book of Deuteronomy. And the first thing Josiah did when he heard the words of the book was he tore his clothes. It's a sign of repentance. A striking contrast to Josiah's response to the words found is in his son Jehoiakim. Jeremiah 36 tells the story. The word was read to him, and he proceeded to cut the scrolls with a penknife and to throw the word of God into a fire. A father responds by tearing his clothes. His son responds by tearing up the word and attempting to burn it. But here in 2 Kings 22 and 23, the parallel passage is found in 2 Chronicles 34 and 35. Our text came from 2 Chronicles today. But the king hears the words of a book. He tears his clothes and he says, "I'm willing to change. I'm willing to bring my life into alignment with what the book says." That's some book. That's some reading. What does it mean? Let me share with you five reactions Josiah had to the book and then try to make some applications to our lives. Number one, the first thing that Josiah is that he understood the book. Shaphan read it aloud. The king heard it and he understood it. It communicated important truths to him and he understood what the book was trying to say. Reminds me of a quote attributed to Mark Twain. He said, "It's not the parts of the Bible that I don't understand that bother me, but it's the parts of the Bible I do understand that bother me." Well, I believe that we all can identify with that, and what Josiah heard, read, and understood bothered him to the point that he did something about it. A second reaction is that he considered the book to be true. The book outlined how they were supposed to live. Josiah looked at the way they were living. He looked at the book and he said, "We're not living the right way." Chaim Potok has a novel called The Chosen. It's about two Jewish boys in New York City who become friends. One is conservative. His name is Danny. The other is from a more liberal sect and his name is Reuben. One night they go to Danny's synagogue. His father is the rabbi there. He delivers the homily. After he says, "Reuben, what did you think of my little talk?" "I thought it was good. It was all very good." Reuben, was it all very good? Reuben understood what the rabbi was doing. The rabbi had intentionally made a mistake in his lesson to see if the boys were really listening. Well, Reuben identified the mistake and he got himself off the hook. But it's that sort of search that has to go on if we're going to find the truth. There were many practices going around in ancient Israel, just as there are today, but not everything is true, and we have at times we need to sort it out. And that's what Josiah did. He understood the book, and he found out that the book was true. The third reaction Josiah had is that he considered the book authoritative. When I say authoritative, I mean he was willing to set community standards by what the book said. He was willing to change the structure of his religious faith based on the particular, on the contents of this particular book. 2 Kings 23, verse 4, "Then the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest and the priests of the second order and the doorkeepers to bring out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal, for Asherah, and for all the host of heaven. And he burned them outside Jerusalem in the fields of the Kidron, and he carried their ashes to Bethel." People had been collecting religious items used in the worship of Baal and Asherah and Molech, the sun, the moon, the stars. They had put those religious objects in the temple of God, and they had raised up shrines for these various objects. And Josiah said, "We need to tear them down and get this stuff out of the temple." There was one house in Jerusalem where male prostitutes lived. He burned it down. There was a cult installation in the Hinnom Valley where the people would offer their children as sacrifices. He tore it up. People were worshiping the horses that were dedicated to the sun. He closed it up. He even went out to Bethel and he destroyed the temple that had been erected there. After it was all over, Josiah called the people together to celebrate a feast. And 2 Kings 23 says, "There wasn't a Passover feast celebrated like that one since the time of the judges, some 600 years before." He understood the book. He considered it to be true. And he also considered it authoritative for religious life. The fourth reaction is that Josiah took it personally. He didn't send the book down to the local priest and say, "See what you can do about this." He didn't say, "This is a matter for the professional prophets. Let's let them handle it." What did he do? He tore his own clothes. He personally called the people together and told them, "We are going to do our very best to clean up our city." Josiah led the way and personally oversaw the restoration. This book had quite an effect on Josiah. And once it was read to him, it changed the way he ruled. It altered his concept of leadership. It gave him guidance in his personal involvement in the kingdom. And finally, Josiah took action. If you read carefully what the prophetess Huldah told Josiah, you find that she told him that God knows these people are not going to change their hearts. God is still going to destroy the city, and this place is going to become a desolation. That's pretty discouraging news, isn't it? You know what Josiah did? He was undaunted by the gloomy future. The king was going to take action. He didn't sit in his palace and cry about the future, but he was going to do what he could to change the people of God. Now, what's the point? What does all of this mean? It means we're called to be Josiahs. An attitude that calls us to read Scripture, to understand what we read, to consider it truth, to consider it authoritative, to take it personally, and allow it to move us to action. And so this morning, I'm calling for Josiahs among our teenagers, among our young people. We prayed about them. We talked about them this morning, about enlisting our young people and encouraging our young people and equipping our young people. And I'm calling upon our young people to raise up and to be those Josiahs. I'm calling our elders, our deacons, our teachers, our singles, our senior members, our young married couples with children to be Josiahs. Lord, raise up at Regency a group of people who will understand your book, who will read your book, who will find a mission in it, and then go out there and carry that mission out. If you read 2 Kings 22 and 23, or if you want to read the parallel passages in 2 Chronicles 34 and 35, I want you to ask yourself a question. Why was this man praised? Was he praised because he brought about repairs in the temple of God? Was it because he reinstituted the covenant of God with the people? Was he praised because he reinstituted the Passover feast? Well, those were all some commendable things that Josiah did. But it seems to me that Josiah was praised for one thing in 2 Kings 22 and 23 and 2 Chronicles 34. In 35, he is praised because he turned back to God. He is praised because his heart was tender and he turned his head and his mind away from the things that concerned him to the things of God. 2 Kings 23, 25, before him, there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, nor did any like him arise after him. Josiah turned back to God, and that's what he wanted his people to do as well. Do you read God's word? Do you understand what you read? Do you consider it to be the truth? Do you consider his word to be authoritative in your life? Do you take it personally? And are you willing to act on what it says? Well, this week we're going to be looking at what we're calling the continuing restoration. And I think this is an early kind of restoration movement on the part of Josiah. And I think those things that he did are the same things that we need to do in order to truly try to restore a New Testament of Christianity. And that's what we're going to be talking about. That is a continuing challenge for us, just as it was a challenge for Josiah, it continues to be a challenge for us today. And so again, I encourage you to participate, to be a part of our spiritual enrichment, which will begin tonight. And our brother Sam Hester will kick us off tonight as he addresses the restoration. Is it worthwhile? And that's how we'll begin. And we are looking forward to a very good week here at the Regency, a congregation. Do you need to give yourself to the Lord this morning? Do you need to respond in trusting faith with a repentant spirit, with a willingness to be buried with your Lord in the waters of baptism, to have your sins forgiven, to be raised up, to walk in newness of life? The Lord adding you to his spiritual family, the church? If you need to make that decision this morning, I hope that you will make that decision. Do you need to come back to Him? Do you desire the prayers of the congregation here so that we can encourage you and help you and support you in any way that we possibly can? Because we're in this together, so we're here to try to encourage everyone. That is such an important thing, important ministry that I think every one of us has, the ministry of encouragement. And if we can encourage you with our prayers today, we would invite you to come as well. So if we can serve you, help anyone in any way, would you let us know how as we stand together and sing our song of encouragement?